today on Real Radio.
Every parent who loves their child disciplines their kids. The Bible says if you leave your child to himself, he's going to grow up to be a reproach to you and he'll hate you. And it's true. Kids grow up better when they know what the rules are. Kids do good with rules. Think about that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called "This Is Gonna Hurt Me More Than It's Gonna Hurt You," continues a series called "The God of Our Salvation," the book of Isaiah. I'm so glad you joined us today. You know, God used the prophet Isaiah to speak mainly to his people in Judah and the city of Jerusalem. But God also gave Isaiah visions that were far into the future. The coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, also what's going to happen in the last days, and the events that lead to his new kingdom here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 27, we saw how Israel and her calling as God's chosen people is an example of the very person, nature, and character of God. He is our promise keeper, and in the end times, God promises to defend Israel. Now in Isaiah chapter 28, a new section begins regarding Israel and how God deals with them when they allow their prosperity to deceive them. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that the chapters ahead will open up with a warning from God for the nation of Israel. He'll begin with a series of woes. It's like saying, "Grief be on you," or "Judgment is coming to you." God's love is not weak. He will discipline those he loves. And now in his lesson called "This Is Going to Hurt Me More Than It's Going to Hurt You," here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28. Could be the longest title we've had. Maybe, I don't know. But tonight we're looking at a message entitled "This Is Going to Hurt Me More Than It's Going to Hurt You." That would be God speaking. Your parents ever tell you that? "Now, Jack, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it's going to hurt you." And I really doubted that after getting spanked, you know. I was thinking, how in the world could that possibly hurt my dad more than it hurt me? I don't know. I think that's parental spin. Make them feel a little better. But it's certainly true for God. God does not enjoy discipline. That is doling it out. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it at all. In fact, in chapters 28 out to chapters 33, if you're a note taker, these chapters are dealing with certain aspects of Israel and of those in the area that had sinned against God. They had gotten away from God. They had rejected God. And God was reaching out to them. But in one of the moments where, according to God, time's up, it's a very scary thought. Very scary thing that's reduced down to one word, mind you. And it's right here in chapter 28, verse 1, and it's carried through all the way out to chapter 33, and it's that little word right there, the three-letter word, woe. Do you see that? You ought to circle that in your Bible. It has a New Testament counterpart to it, the word woe. There in Isaiah 28, 1, woe. Isaiah 29, woe. 30, woe. It just goes on to 33. And here in chapter 28, we hear this woe that's coming, and it's carried through. But before we look at that, the word means great grief. It's God's grief. This is God saying. He's saying, "Woe, I'm grieved, heavy-hearted." It's sad for God to say that. You know, we can honestly say tonight that ignorance is bliss. Listen, no matter how well-informed you are, or no matter what kind of intel you have, there's a level of ignorance that all of us possess, and we do better to be ignorant regarding certain things than if we knew them. Well, in this situation, God is announcing, "Woe, I am grieved," and it's a grieving that is profound. Its New Testament counterpart is Matthew chapter 11, verse 21. You don't have to turn there exactly, but you ought to write down next to verse 1, Matthew 11, 21 to 23. Here's the reason why. Jesus said this. Now listen, some of us have driven right past these towns in Israel, and one town I'll point out in a moment, we actually make an archaeological teaching stop. Jesus said, "Woe to you, Chorazin." North Galilee, right off the Sea of Galilee. Listen, nobody lives there today. Jesus says, condemned are you, Chorazin. That's what the word means. Whoa, condemned are you. Bethsaida, guess what? We drive right through Bethsaida when we go to the north part of the Sea of Galilee. Nobody lives in Bethsaida today. And there's no reason why they shouldn't. It's absolutely beautiful. For if the mighty works would have been done to you, were done to you, had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. This is Jesus levying judgment against villages that would not receive his word or his miracles. Verse 22, but I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. This is Jesus speaking. Verse 23, and you, woe to you, Capernaum. Capernaum is where we go, where there's a synagogue that was reassembled from the time of Jesus, a synagogue that, quite frankly, he probably taught in. There's the home that is unearthed that has been discovered as being a house, literally a home, big home, and outline and pottery and all through archaeological digs that takes us right to the time when Peter, if you remember in your Bible, Peter, his mother-in-law lived in Capernaum, the Bible says. Peter's wife's mom, Peter's mother-in-law, according to the Bible, lived there. No one lives there anymore. Jesus says, whoa, whoa. And it's a strong word, and God uses the word in the Hebrew language to speak to what's going on. Before we get into this, though, listen, there are some comforting words, though, in this chapter. Good words that you're going to identify. You're going to think, I thought that was a New Testament verse. No, it's an Isaiah verse. And we're going to learn about how God disciplines his children. Now, we need to hear this today in the 21st century. God disciplines his kids, period. Every parent who loves their child disciplines their kids. The Bible says, if you leave your child to himself, he's going to grow up to be a reproach to you, and he'll hate you. And it's true. Children look for authoritative figures. They would never admit this in their young age. But they grow up better when they know there's fences and guidelines to their life. Think about that. Kids grow up better when they know what the rules are. Kids do good with rules. And God lays out rules. And when we disobey God, he disciplines his children. Now, listen carefully, everybody. God only disciplines his kids. He does not discipline the non-believer. Are you sitting down? To the non-believer, he says, whoa. It is a horrific thing to hear. He'll never say whoa to a child of God. He might say, Jack, you over here now. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening or discipline of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. If you can get away with the wrong you're doing and you kind of snicker and laugh and say, no one's caught me, this is great. Oh man, this is great. God must approve, it's all good. Listen, if you're cruising along in the sin lane and you've not been pulled over and you've not gotten a ticket by God, then you're not his kid. Listen, it's one of the most profound ways of hearing God speak. Sometimes Christians will say, I don't know if I've ever heard God speak. Yes, you have. If you're a Christian, you've heard God speak, because whenever you had that bad thought or you had that attitude or you were whatever you know was wrong and you heard him, you've heard his voice. God chastens, disciplines his kids, and he's going to be disciplining Israel, and he has throughout history. Even in their gathering and now in this day and age and where they're heading, they're going to be disciplined by the Lord ultimately. But God's love, church, is not weak. God will deal with you and I if we get off the course, because his love is not weak. a very, very sad, lying attitude that we've swallowed in this day and age is somehow parents have been sold a bill of goods that somehow their kid is to be their best friend and vice versa. That is insane. It will never happen. If you think that's happening with you, you've deceived yourself. Your kid knows that you're not his or her best friend. Your kid knows that you're his mom or dad. And kids need parents. And our culture today says, no, be their best friends. Nope. You be their parent because you love them. And God loves us and God loves you. His love's not weak. It's not insecure. His love is strong. In Psalm 118, verse 18, the Bible says, the Lord has chastened me severely, says the psalmist, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. God deals with his people. So church, number one, as we look at this, verses 1-8, this is going to hurt me, God says, more than it's going to hurt you. As we see in verse one is that guilty they were, Israel, guilty of being intoxicated. Read it with me or follow along with me. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim or the northern tribes of Israel, whose glorious beauty is fading, is as a fading flower, which is at the head of the verdant valleys. We'll see this in a moment. To those who are overcome with wine. God says, woe, you have lost your way. You have become drunk. He's talking about the northern valleys, the northern area, the 10 tribes. You've become drunk with what? Drunk with the fact that you've got all of this incredible prosperity and beauty and opulence. And you have taken that, and in leisure, you've intoxicated yourself. Now, scholars, and I agree with both views on this, scholars will say that Isaiah is speaking for God, of course, and he is saying that it's spiritual intoxication because they have worshiped other gods. That's certainly true, but we know from antiquity that they're also given over to the sensuousness and drunkenness. And I want to show you how easy that could be on the screens. And I'm wondering if you're going to identify the regions. Well, I guess I kind of put the thing up at the wrong time. But do you see this, the brown area right there in the map? This is Israel. That brown area, that's specifically the region that we'd call Samaria. Okay, but the prophecy is from that bottom part, like a little Florida handle, upward. Okay, so what would we, that's from, you know, the map view or the satellite view. What would it look like if we were actually in Israel in the springtime, which we go in the springtime? Look at this picture. This is the Jezreel Valley. Okay, this is Israel. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Did you think there's going to be a bunch of sand dunes with camels running around and upside down cars? This is Israel. This is it. In fact, that valley is the Jezreel Valley. And part of the Jezreel Valley is a region of the valley called Armageddon. Armageddon. In this, you're looking at a portion of Armageddon. Incredibly fruitful, incredibly green, and productive. Much like our Southern California or the California Central Valley. Extremely productive. Beautiful. This picture was only taken a year or 2 years ago. Like emerald. Look at this. There's Mount Tabor on the right. See that bump on the right? That's where Deborah fought her battles. Okay? Look at the olive groves. And they'll grow wheat or they'll grow barley or they'll grow Milo in between the olives. Isn't that awesome? That's Israel. Look, this is the region that Isaiah's speaking to. Those that he's speaking to and God is about to judge, this is what they had. It's very nice. Wouldn't you like to live there? Absolutely. Next slide, I think. We have another one, maybe? No, maybe not. Okay. It's just gorgeous. You say, well, what does that do with anything? Because you know what? They were so blessed that what they wound up doing is instead of managing their prosperity, they began to consume it upon themselves. Their prosperity bred to leisure. Their leisure allowed them to be complacent. Their complacency brought apathy among them. In their apathy, wealth, they had time on their hands. What's that old saying? Idle hands are the devil's workshop or something like that. They didn't have to do anything. They got money coming in. Their crops are producing. Everything's going great. The stock market's up. Everything's fine. What are we going to do with all of our money? Oh, my goodness, let's do this. We'll have other people work our farms for us. And we'll just export the stuff, and we'll just sit around. You know, we'll watch daytime TV and sit there with all of this stuff in the Jezreel Valley and figure out what we can do next and kind of just spend all of our time on ourselves and spend all of our money on ourselves and get bored with that. So then we'll go do something else. And then we keep doing something else until you wind up becoming apathetic about everything that you've experienced. Listen, nothing gets you going anymore. And this is one of the tragedies when our hearts are not kept right. When we have stuff at our fingertips, you know what we wind up doing? We're kind of like kids at Christmas. The first gift at Christmas, the kid's like, can we open it yet? Can we open it yet? Oh, yeah. Oh, nope, now. Yay! They dive in, watch. Paper's flying. The toy comes out. What does the kid do with the toy? Boom, boom, over to the side. Next, what's next? And then they go through 10 gifts or 20 gifts, and they got this pile of junk all around them. And then you say, well, did you have a good Christmas? And they go, that's it? Not a good sign. Why? Because what happens at that point is where you begin to move off into aberrant areas of lifestyle and life itself. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to tell you to go to Hollywood, Bel Air, Malibu. I don't have to tell you to go to some of the amazing locations with astronomical homes and all that kind of stuff in this part of the world, and people are absolutely unhappy and they're not satisfied. Not satisfied one bit. That's a very, very tragic thing, that when we begin to have that happen in our lives and we lose control of what we have in our lives, not a good thing. They had done that. Historians and archaeologists tell us that from the pictures that you just saw a moment ago, that they had become quite possibly the most fruitful, the most beautiful, the most wealthiest region of all of Israel in their day. And it was their very prosperity that led them into trouble. Look at verse 2 in your Bibles. Behold, the Lord has a mighty and strong one. This is a storm. This is a discipline that's coming. Like a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, like a flood of mighty waters overflowing. Who will bring them down to the earth with his hand? Verse 3, the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim will be trampled underfoot. God is saying, judgment's coming because you've turned away from me. You've loved your stuff more than God. And the glorious beauty is as a fading flower. So you saw pictures of that. Which is at the head of the verdant valley, like the first fruit before the summer, which an observer sees. Watch this. Which the observer sees. So some guy's walking through in the summer, your crops or your orchards. He sees fruit hanging. And he eats it up while it is still in his hand. God is saying, because you've forgotten me, all of these good, bountiful things that you've enjoyed in life, it's as though someone's going to walk through. They don't own the land. They're foreigners. They're strangers. They're going to walk through, and they're going to pick your harvest away off from you, right out of the tree. And they're going to pick it so fresh. It's hanging there. It's so ready. They pick it, and they eat it right in hands. God says, watch out for that. And you think about, is that even possible in America? Could that be even happening? Could we be like this? Because whenever you read the Bible, you want to read the Bible to see what you can get out of it. Personal application. Is it even possible that we could be such a, quote, verdant valley, incredible fruitfulness, and wind up forgetting God and losing the perspective of who God is, where we have got to have other things instead of God? And remember, I've told you before, it's not bad having other things, but if we love those things, and maybe more fatal than that is if we say to these things, they are my identity, they are my meaning. If you begin to do that, you are in deep idolatry as a believer. If God, listen, loves you, he's going to remove those things. This is a tough thing to say, listen. And I could never judge, nor could you. We don't have this inside information. But there are brothers and sisters in Christ who get prosperous, they get blessed. And some of them lose their way. I've watched this over almost 40 years of being a Christian. They start out with nothing. They prosper. Not all of them, but some of them lose their way. And they're real believers. And you see them go through years of struggle, and then all of a sudden, it's taken away from them. And you say, well, would God ever do that? Oh, yes, he does do that. Now, look, I am not, if you're sitting here tonight saying, oh my goodness, how did he know about our lives? Did somebody tell him? How did Jack know? I don't know nothing about nobody. Listen, and just because I said that, it doesn't mean that's you. Listen, you've got to find that out for yourself, but it does happen. Don't think that God has turned his back on you. He actually loves you, and you've gotten your eyes off of him. And to get your attention, he brings you back that way. Just like we would do with our kids. We reel them in. You've got to do that. Or else they'll lose their way. It's a very serious thing. Verse 5, he says, in that day. Now, there's that famous three words you know now. Isaiah's looking way now out to the future. Beyond us, by the way. Beyond us here tonight. In that day, the coming of the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory. Notice the opposing crown. There's the crown of pride of man, and there's the crown of glory, that is the Lord, and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people, that's Israel, for a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. Verse 7, but they also have erred through wine. Wow. And through intoxicating drink. There's wine and then this hard drink. They're out of the way. The priest... Listen to this. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Wow. Verse 8, for all tables are full. Their tables, look, are full of vomit and filth. Isaiah's such a nice guy. He's doing really good until he comes to verse 8. There's puke everywhere, and their house is filthy because they're just drunk all the time. Wow. Look, it's kind of a weird thing, man. You're going to remember this verse after tonight. You say, I don't think so. Yeah, you will. You know what? You know what's freaky? What's freaky is when you go to the grocery store and you see a certain priest from a certain church loading up their shopping carts with beer and wine and in their priestly clothes. Am I the only one who has seen this? Raise your hand if you've seen it. Okay. What is that? It's Isaiah 28.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, This is Gonna Hurt Me More Than It's Gonna Hurt You. I'm so glad you joined us today, and don't forget, God is slow to get angry, but don't wait to come to Him. His outstretched arms are ready and waiting to receive you. This is Gonna Hurt Me More Than It's Gonna Hurt You is part of Pastor Jack's series called, The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, let me turn you on to a couple of videos that you can find on Pastor Jack's Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel. These videos were filmed live during one of his recent tours to Israel. Now, one of them is called The Authority and Reliability of the Bible. It's a message that he spoke from the caves located near the Dead Sea. Now, you may be wondering why Pastor Jack did a message from there. Well, it was inside these caves where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. A significant discovery when it comes to trusting God's Word, the Bible. Pastor Jack also taped one of his Facebook Happening Now broadcasts from Israel. His special guest is our friend Amir Safati, who many of you know is from Israel, but did you know that he's a major in the Israeli Defense Force? This is the first time that Pastor Jack did his Happening Now broadcast outside the U.S., He's speaking from the prophetic valley of Armageddon, and according to the book of Revelation, it's the location where armies will gather for a final battle during the end times. So head on over to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, it's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and don't forget to click on the notifications icon for all of Pastor Jack's latest videos. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.